Malachi chapter 3. I want to begin reading in verse 13. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed, certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning, right now, that our hearts would respond to your word. Father, help us to be hearers, that we might become doers. And I pray, Lord, right now, if there's anything in any person's heart or mind that is distracting them from hearing your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that you might remove it. Father, I pray that your word may reach the depths of our lives and that it might transform us into your Son. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The book of Malachi is a book that I truly love. When we get to the Old Testament so often, many Christians don't even read it. They think that it does not relate to us today. They think that it has no value for us today. If there is one book, and there is more than one book, but if there is one book in the Bible that clearly challenges us to live for Christ, it is this book. Because in it, we take a peek, we take a look in on the lives of the Israelites who were not living for God. And God, in looking in at their lives, challenges them about their relationship with him. And in this book, we see six different questions. We see six different charges that God has leveled on the Israelites that are living in Malachi's day. We have looked at five of them. The first charge, and it's important to review for a minute these charges, and as I do, I want you to think about one thing. I want everybody to think about yourself. Here's the charges. Charge number one, they doubted God's love. With all that God had done for them, with all that God was doing in their lives, with all the things that God had done in their past, because of the things they were going through right then and there, they began to doubt God's love. Do you do that? I mean, you go through difficult times and you sit back and you cry and moan and say, oh God, you don't love me. You know, the good old pity party that we throw for ourselves. You know, if there's one person in each of our lives, beyond anyone else, that we could sit back and have no doubts about whether they love us or not, it's God. But the Israelites were sitting there and they were doubting that he loved them. And you know what? That bothered God. Second thing God charged them with was that they had not honored and respected him. Instead of giving God their best, they were giving God all the leftovers. Instead of giving God the best of their time, the best of the talent, the best of the treasure, instead of giving God the first fruits, instead of giving God the best of who they were giving God all the leftovers. When it came to the sacrifice, God wanted the best of their animals to be sacrificed on the altar because it represented Jesus, but they would come and take the maimed and the mauled and the wasted animals, and they would throw that up there and say, God, here's our offering. Do you do that? Do you give God the leftovers? You know, when you're too tired to even read, you read a verse in the Bible. When you're going through difficulties, that's the only time you pray. You serve God well if you have time. You come to church well if there's nothing better to do. Third charge was that they had not been faithful to God, and God said that their lack of faithfulness showed up in their marriages. They were marrying non-believers. They were divorcing their spouses. They had not kept the commitment that their forefathers had in their marriages. So God says, look, you haven't been faithful to me, and the way I see that is in your marriages. So if we were to look at your marriage this morning, those of you who are married, would we be able to say by looking at your marriage that your Christianity shows so much in your marriage, it shows that you're really, truly faithful to God? Yeah, you know, I've said for years that real Christianity shows up in the home. And if your relationship with God isn't showing up in your home, then your relationship with God may not be as good or as well as you think it is. And then the fourth thing God charged them with was wearying him with their words. They wearied God by questioning his justice. They were calling the wicked good and the good wicked. They were crying out to God and asking God where his justice was. Yeah, have you done that? You look around, you see people who don't live for God, don't love God, don't care about God, and they seem to get ahead. And you look at your own life and you can see ways in which serving God has kind of kept you behind. You say, God, where's your justice in that? The fifth thing that God charged them with was robbing him. We look at this last Sunday morning. They hadn't brought in their tithes. They hadn't brought in their offerings. And God said, you're robbing me. Are you doing that? God says that he wants the first fruits of all that we make. Are you giving that to God? Or are you, you're a tipper? Time for the offering. So you say, oh, well, let me check and see if any change in my pocket. If it's a quarter and a penny, you throw the penny in. You know, are you stealing from God by not giving God what duly is God's? And coming up with all kinds of excuses for doing that? That's what the Israelites were doing. Can't afford to give to God. Can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give God the first fruits. Are you robbing God? So these charges, these five charges, they doubted God's love, they did not honor and respect God, they were not faithful to God as seen in their marriages, they wearied God by their words, questioned his justice, and they turned away from God by robbing him, by not giving God what duly was his. Now, there was a reason for that, and there always is. There was a reason why, when you look at their lives, they weren't doing these five things. And the reason is found in the sixth charge. I just love God's word. Yeah, it's just so true. I mean, all you got to do is look at it and take God's word and take life, and it is just so true. It amazes me when people say that God's word has no validity for our lives today. Look at the sixth charge. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed, certainly even doers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. All of our actions are based on what's going on in our head. I don't care what you say, no matter who you are, the truth is you are going to do what you believe. Whatever you believe, that is the way you're going to live your life. You may come to church and say, I believe God, I believe there is a God, I love God, you know, sing all the songs, and you're into all that. But if that is not what is in your heart and your head, when it comes time to living, you're not going to do that. People say, I trust God. But when it comes time where you really have to trust God, then we find out whether you really do trust God. See, what the Bible tells us is that person is what they believe. Not what they say they believe, but what they really believe. So what did the Israelites believe? We see in this charge that the Israelites are saying it is futile to serve God. Serving God is futile. So now we know why the five things God listed in this book are true of their lives. Now we know why they haven't been faithful. Now we know why they were questioning God's love. Now we know why they were questioning God's justice. Now we know why they weren't giving. Because in their heart of hearts, they believed that serving God had no value. It was futile. Now, if you're going to serve God the way that God wants you to serve him, there are two things we can learn from this passage, two things we can do from this passage that will help us to really put our lives where they need to be and help us to serve God. Here's the first one. Don't reason that serving God is futile. Don't reason that serving God is futile. The word reason means to kind of sit around and think through things and think over life and look at life and kind of really let it revolve around your head. And ultimately, as you do that, as you look at this world, you kind of think it through and you say, you know what, as I look at it, I really just don't think there's value in serving God. That's what they were saying. It's futile to serve God. There's no value in doing that. Notice God says, you've said harsh things against me. And the harsh things are what he was just saying. Now, the word harsh means strong or severe. You've said things that are really, really severe, and God's saying, I don't like it. I don't like the things you've said. I don't like what you're saying. You know, that tells me that God's listening. Think about that. You ever say to your spouse, you just don't listen to me? God is. God is hearing our words. And God is hearing the things that they're saying. And God is hearing what you're saying today. God is hearing what you're saying right now in your heart while I am speaking. And he was listening to them and he heard what they were saying. And he's saying, look, I don't like what you're saying. Those things you're saying are harsh. They're severe. God said, you've said harsh things against me. Notice the response is the same every time in Malachi, and they say, what have we said against you? Who, me? What did I do? What did I say? God says, you said hard, severe, harsh. Who, me? I didn't say anything. God, I love you. God, you're great. No, you said harsh things. Well, what are they? Notice in verse 14, the things they were saying. It is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. God says that these statements are harsh. These statements are severe. So notice he demonstrates this charge by restating their words. Let's pull these statements apart. Notice the first one. They say it is futile to serve God. The word futile means vain or without result. Serving God has no result. We might say it this way, it is not worth it. And here's what's going on in their heads when we look at the entire context of the book and we look at what's going on in their lives based on other books of the Bible. They're looking around, they're seeing all the people who don't serve God. They're looking around at all the people who could care less about God. They're looking around at all the people who hate God. And then they're looking at those who follow God, and they say, you know what, as we compare the two, we don't think it is worth it to serve God. We don't think it has any value. In fact, we could say it this way. We think that serving God is a complete waste of time. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you think the very same thing. You're here because maybe someone made you come. You're here maybe because it's, you know, it's Sunday morning, so it's a thing to do. But really, in your heart of hearts, you're saying to yourself, serving God's a waste of time. You're saying to yourself, if I had something else to do, my choice would not be to be here. Because serving God is a waste of time. It has no value. God said that serving him has great reward. But they came to believe that serving God had no reward. God says that one day if you serve me, I will reward you. But they had gotten to a point in their life where they said, we don't believe that anymore. Now, I don't think they verbalized that, but I think in the depths of their heart, that's really what they were thinking. Because they were saying it is futile to serve God. Now, let me ask you this morning, do you think that? Do you believe that? Do you really, with your heart's heart, go down to the depths of your heart. Don't think about anybody else. Think about your own heart. Do you really believe that serving God has value? Or do you really believe it really doesn't matter? Some people, for example, will say, it doesn't matter if I go to church or not. If I miss a week, it really just doesn't matter. Some people will think, it doesn't matter whether this church is here next week, because there's plenty other churches in the neighborhood, so I could just go to one of the other ones. Some people think, well, it doesn't matter if I get involved in doing this in the church, because there's plenty of other people to do it. So if I do it or not, it really doesn't matter. Some people think, well, when I serve God, my life's no different. When I don't serve God, my life's no different. That's why I serve God. Look at your own heart. Do you believe that serving God is a waste of time? For example, we have Friend Day next Sunday morning. You may be saying to yourself, I've invited a whole bunch of people to Friend Day, and they've never shown. So it really doesn't matter if I invite people to Friend Day or not. You might say, well, you know, there might be a lot of people here on Friend Day, so it really doesn't matter if I come to Friend Day or not. What you're saying is what the Israelites are saying. I want you to hold your finger here in Malachi chapter 3, and I'd like you to turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to notice the words of the Apostle Paul. God speaking through Paul. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have treasures, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, that his life, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Man, what a life. Look at his life. Crushed, perplexed, despair, struck down. That's a life. But look at verse 13. Excuse me, verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far awaits them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul says, I'm looking around at my life, and you know what? As I look around at my life and serving God, we're being beat up all the time. Life is hard. Life is difficult. But the way I deal with it all is to take my focus off the here and now and put my focus on eternity. See, the problem that was going on with the Israelites is they had taken their eyes off eternity and they were beginning to focus on the here and now. And as they looked around the here and now, they said, serve God? I look at all the people who aren't serving God, man. They got much better than we have it. And they came to the conclusion because of that, it's a waste of time to serve God. They'd rather do something different. Now, I want you to notice that's not the only thing they were saying. There's a second thing God said that they were saying. Go back to Malachi chapter 3. Verse 14. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements or going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? What do we gain by obeying God? What do we gain by going out like mourners? You know, this word gain means profit, but it means profit with a selfish tinge to it. It has the idea that you are gaining by violence or by stealing or defrauding. In some way, you're getting something, you're gaining something, but you're doing it out of selfish motives. You're not doing it for good reason. So they looked at serving God and they thought about all that they had done for God and they said, you know what? What did we get out of this? Not only is there no value in serving God, but now they're asking, is there anything in it for me? You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And there's a lot of books I've been reading and a lot of things I've been hearing lately that talk about consumer Christians. That in Christianity today, we become consumers. We go to church based on what we can get out of it, and we look around, and if
we can't get something out of it, then we go somewhere else. Or what we do is we decide we're going to have five churches. You know, one church has good preaching, so we'll go there for preaching. Another church has good music, so we'll go there for music. Another church has a good youth group, so we'll go there for the youth group. Another church has a good this or a good that. And we look at church, we look at serving God from a consumer mentality. So sometimes we're at the Giant Market. Sometimes we're at Redner's. Sometimes, you know, we're at another store. And that's our thinking in Christianity. We've become selfish consumers, but we see it all the way back in Malachi's day. They were doing the very same thing. Is that how you look at serving God? I'll do this in the church if I can gain something from it. I'll do that for God if there's something in it for me. Yeah, I'll be obedient to God, but does that mean my life's going to be better? Does that mean I'm going to be more happy? If not, then I don't want to do it. If it means I'm going to be crushed, if it means I'm going to be persecuted, if it means I'm going to be plexed, if it means I have to face suffering, then I don't want that. Talked to someone, probably a couple years ago. And they said to me that they always believed that if they gave their life to God, then God was going to make them a missionary over in Africa. And that God was going to use their life to beat them up, because they said as they look around at Christianity, they see Christians who have just been beat up, and God uses them best when they're beat up. And if that's true, they didn't want to serve God. They wanted nothing to do with God. The Israelites are saying, what did I gain from serving God? What value is it for me? We gain nothing by serving God. But the reality is, the reason we ought to serve God is not because of what we gain. The reason we ought to serve God is because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You know, the end result is that when we begin to have a consumer mentality towards Christianity, then just like the Israelites in Malachi's day, what happens to our worship is it becomes dead. It becomes formalism. In fact, here's what I want you to do. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah chapter 58, beginning in verse 1, it talks about the Israelites' worship. And in this case specifically, it talks about their fasting. I want you to read it to yourself as I talk. I'm not going to read it. But what you're going to see is you're going to see that the Israelites' worship was dead. It was empty. It was formal. It had no value. It had no meaning. And we find this in the book of Malachi. We find the reason why. Because they said, we're not gaining anything out of serving God. So they finally came to a point in their lives where all they did was to go through the motions. But there was no living for God. There was no heart that loved God. And we see it in churches today. People go to church every Sunday, and some go throughout the week. But when you look at their lives, you don't see any difference. You don't see any change. They go week after week after week, and nothing ever happens. You don't see a better marriage. You don't see a better family life. You don't see more holiness, more righteousness. You don't see more love. You don't see more graciousness. You don't see them treating one another better. It's just the same old, same old. So we know that when that's true, when they're doing their religious things, it's empty. Why? Because all they're doing is looking to see what they can get, not what they can give. So that when they get in their marriage, they look at what they can get from their spouse, not what they can do to give to their spouse and serve their spouse. So when they look at their parents, they just want their parents to do, make their life better, make their life happy, give them all they want. And they look at their kids, all they want their kids to do is just make it quiet. You know, as long as it's quiet, I'm going to turn the TV on all day long. Just make it quiet. Just don't harass me. And we become an empty society of followers of God where there is no meaning whatsoever, because we look at Christianity and we say, you know, I'm only in it if I get something. And then notice there's a third thing they were saying. Go back with me to Malachi, verse 15. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Let me just summarize that by saying this. Third thing they were saying is that evildoers are better off than those who serve God. Evildoers are better off than those who serve God. I want you to know this morning that's not true. How many remember the name Madeline Murray O'Hara? Remember that lady? She's the atheist that got prayer kicked out of the public school. She used her son to do it. She said she wanted nothing to do with God. I remember one time she said about someone she wasn't getting along with. They said, are you going to forgive that? In fact, I think it was her son. They said, are you going to forgive your son? She said, no, I'm not a Christian. I don't have to forgive. And they built up this great organization. They had all kinds of success until some of her followers killed her. They cut up her body and threw it in 55-gallon pails, jugs, those containers, and threw her out in the field. See, what the Israelites are saying here is not true. Those who don't serve God don't get away with it. So let's ask the question. Let me answer it. Is it futile to serve God? Here's my answer. 10,000 times, no. Serving God has great value. Serving God is worth it. Serving God is not a waste of time. And you know why? Because one day we're all going to stand before the throne of God, and God's going to ask us a question. He's going to say, what have you done with your life? And then every single person will know that if you've served God, it's been worth it. And if you haven't served God, you won't get away with it. Number two, and I'm going to give it to you real quick. Believe you will be rewarded for serving God. Believe you will be rewarded for serving God. Notice verse 16. Those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Now, there's debate as to who the those are. Some think that the those here is a different group of people than the ones who just spoke. Some believe that the ones who are speaking now are the ones who just spoke, but they've repented of what they said. They've gotten their lives right, and now they're speaking. From all I've read, I kind of lean that way. That those here are the people who just spoke, but they've repented of what they've said. They've now gotten their lives right, and here's now what they're saying. Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honored his name. Do you know God has a scroll, and your name is written on it? Persians used to do this. They'd write scrolls and they'd write names and they would write down what that person did. In fact, I think every society has always done that. So they could honor those that they've seen do great things, and they could kind of cause those to step aside who didn't do great things. God has a scroll too, and he writes things down. And he has every deed of yours written down, every thought of your heart written down, every thing that has crossed your mind written down. And he knows what you're saying, and he knows what you're thinking, and he knows what's going on in your heart right this second. And those who follow God will be honored, and those who reject God will be dishonored. Verse 17 says, they will be mine. In that day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. Do not. God says, look, one day you will see, when you stand before me, you will see a distinction between those who follow God, serve God, who do not think it's futile to serve God, and those who want nothing to do with God. In this building right now, there are those sitting here who want to serve God. And in this building right now, there are some of you who say in your heart, I don't want to serve God. And everybody knows who's who. You know who you are. You know in your heart whether you really want to serve God, and you know in your heart whether you really don't want to serve God. God says one day we will see that distinction. Even though maybe we can't see it right at this moment, one day we will see that distinction. And we will know who truly wants to serve God and who does not. Those groups will be separated. The scroll of remembrance is written. And we will be able to tell who is serving God and who is not, who thinks it's futile and who does not. Notice he says to those who serve God, they will be his, verse 17. Verse 17, they will be spared judgment. Verse 18, the distinction will be made between the righteous and the wicked. If you're taking notes, write this verse down. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Here's what it says. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There are some people in this church right now, you used to serve God, and you know what? You've given up on serving God because you begin the thought to yourself, it's futile to serve God, it doesn't make any difference. I want you to know you're wrong. There are some in here right now, and you're saying, and you've always believed it's futile to serve God. I want you to know you're wrong. And there's some in here right now, and you're discouraged, you feel like giving up, you've been serving God, you've been trying to do what God wants you to do, and it seems like it's not making a difference. I want you to know, don't give up. Because serving God has value. Serving God is not a waste of time. And you do not know the lives that you are impacting by the things that you're doing in your love for God. You will never know the impact you're having on other people until you stand in the presence of God and he separates those who follow him and those who don't. And then God's going to take a scroll out and he's going to show you your deeds and he's going to show you how your deeds have impacted everybody around you and how the impact on them has impacted someone else and impacted someone else and impacted someone else. Sometimes serving God can be very discouraging. I sat last night and Connie came home from a trip, and while she was away, she had met some people that some of you here know. It was Marilyn June's daughter-in-law and granddaughter. And she saw them, and it was kind of like a chance meeting where they were both there in the same place, and she saw them. And they came running over to Connie and gave her a great big hug. And they said this. They said, you don't know how much of an impact your family and your church has had on our lives. You'll never realize how much you've impacted our lives. And I sat there and I thought to myself, in fact, I said it to Connie, I said, how? They're only here when they'd come and visit their mother, and you know, during the funeral, it was only a short time. How could we've had such an impact on their lives? And Connie said, you just can't imagine the way that they hugged me and the things that they said. We've had a gigantic impact on their life. I want you to know it is not futile to serve God. And one day you will stand in his presence. Whether you've decided to serve God or whether you've decided that everything I said is a waste of time, one day you will stand before God and you will realize it is not futile to serve God. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Again, I don't want you looking at anyone else or thinking about anyone else. I don't want you thinking about you. Where's your heart? In your heart, Is serving God a waste of time? Are you discouraged about serving God because you're not seeing things happening? Or do you love to serve God? The choice is yours. But one day you will stand before God and you will find that what I've said this morning is not a lie. It's the absolute truth. Father God, I pray that those who do not want to serve you that are here this morning would evaluate their own heart. I pray, Lord, that they would come to the realization that serving you is the right thing to do. I pray, Lord, for those who are discouraged here this morning that are serving you. I pray, Lord, that you would show them the value of their life. And I pray, Father, for those who are committed to you. Help them, Lord, to remain faithful. Work in our lives this day, Father. Help us to know that it is not a waste of time to live for you and to serve you. Help us to realize it's the greatest, the best thing we could ever do. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.